Kaila Biantaravanina Grihita Sarasva Ketumbaya Krudayati. Gavachet. Cha. At. Sometimes. Dushashena. Unbearable. Kaya Abhyantaravanina. Because of the fire of hunger and thirst within the body. Grihite Sara. Whose patience is exhausted. Spa Katumbaya. Unto his own family members. Krudayati. He becomes angry. I forgot the invocation, so we will do it now and then read the translation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the English to this. Sometimes, due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed that he loses his patience and becomes angry with his own beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus, being unkind to them, he suffers all of the more. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vijayapati Thakur has sung, Tatala Sakate Vari Bindu Sama Sutta Mita Ramane Samaji. The happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. No one can be happy in family life. According to the Vedic civilization, one cannot give up the responsibilities of family life. But today, everyone is giving up family life by divorce. And sometimes by kitchen fires. We'll get back to that. This is due to the miserable condition experienced in the family. Sometimes, due to misery, one becomes very hardened toward his affectionate sons, daughters, and wife. This is but part of the blazing fire of material life. Om Ajnana Timaranya Sahagana Gana Salakaya Chaksurin Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we will talk about investing. About investing with positive returns as opposed to what gives us negative returns. We'll explain something about capital gain, especially spiritually. And we will relate this to two kinds of consciousness. Basically, we have consciousness of all kinds of things. But basically, it can be boiled down to two kinds of centers. I am either Krishna-centered, or I am self-centered, emphasis on selfishness. You may have noted that this selfishness and self-centeredness gets us into all kinds of trouble. Unless you're a devotee, and then it's okay. Sometimes we might think this way. But usually you do the same thing, you get the same reaction. Is it not true? Just like one person, if you take an ordinary materialist and he drinks a lot of alcohol, what happens to him? He becomes intoxicated, drunk, right? What if you take a person born in a Brahmin family or a devotee and they drink lots of alcohol? What do they get? What is it? What is it? The same thing, intoxicated. Just like we can take an ordinary person, they can chant Hare Krishna and they can become a devotee. So what we'll see in this investing is it's not who you think you are, but what you do that makes the most result. So we see here this kind of investment. What happens? We'll go back and look at this. Because of bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes disturbed. Okay, what happens when he gets disturbed? He loses his patience Then he becomes angry with his beloved sons and daughters, and he suffers all the more. So what is the problem here? The problem is that we're looking at the investment, what kind of return we get. We have to study this and know. You need to know which is a snake before you pick it up, thinking that it is a rope. And the idea with this drop of water in the desert reminds me, does anybody know what barish is, rain is? We probably forgot because we don't get much anymore, right? But one day, about a month ago, a big cloud came and it thundered and one drop of water came out. And we all took a swim in that, right? It looked like we are going to get a big, huge cloud of rain. But only one drop came out. So you're getting this one drop of water. And sometimes that almost makes it worse. If you are very hungry, and I bring you a big plate feast, and I say, take one grain of rice. You take the one grain. He says, okay, now I take the rest away. I thought I was getting that. No, that is the advertisement. What you really get is just the grain of rice. Do they put some money into advertising in India? So much of the products, it's all the advertising and the packaging. I remember before in America, there was one ad about smoking. It says, are you smoking more and enjoying it less? Now, of course, anyone who is, it's true. Now, you keep doing it more and the result gets less. If I hire you for a job and every year you make less but you work harder, you sign up right now, you already have signed up for this. This is the way the material enjoyment works. Of course, the advertisement said, you switch brands. But each brand, what is the difference between one brand of cigarettes and the other? Well, they come in a different package, right? You look at these, there's so many different colors of packages. And which kind causes cancer? All of them. But the cigarette is really only bad one time. When is it bad? When? When you smoke it. So you have to remember that if things have a negative effect, as long as I don't invest in it, it won't hurt me. That's why we try to get a little knowledge of when we invest our energy. What is the difference between chanting and smoking? One brings Krishna prema, one brings suffering and misery. Who wants misery? Yes, I want misery, right? Is this what we want? Another thing with this material enjoyment, which shocked me, was I remember reading this back in the junior high, where I went with Badri Narayan a couple years ago. Well, maybe it was more than a couple years ago. But I read the one, we'd read a story and then we'd have a test on it. And the story talked about the law of diminishing returns. That the more you enjoy it, the more you take of it, the less you enjoy. Just like that cigarette. The more you smoke it, the less you enjoy it. It said that's why when they sell the 2-liter size of soda, it sells for less per ounce than just the 10 ounce. Because they know that as you keep drinking it, you keep enjoying it less and less and less. So you keep, it's like if I tell you there's an investment. Each week you give me 1,000 rupees and I'll give you 500 back. And then next month you give me 2,000 rupees, I give you 300 back. Each week the amount you give me will increase and the amount I give you back decreases. We think, well, I don't want that. But yet we sign up for this kind of enjoyment here. For this drop of water in the desert. Read here what was said in the purport. The result of this. we see that because they don't get what they want, they're so concentrated on this thirst and hunger that you become disturbed. And you get disturbed, you lose the patience, and then you start getting angry with all the people you should be loving the most. And the result is you suffer more. You judge the thing by the result. And due to misery, you become more hardened, which creates more suffering. So we think, first my premise should be, what I do should make me more happy, not suffer more. So we go back, we look at self-centered activities. I'm the one leaf on the tree. Forget the rest of the tree, I'll just water that leaf. And then the whole thing dies. In fact, I'll just cut the tree down so I can just water my leaf. I'll show the rest of you leaves. I'll just cut the tree down and water my leaf. Now you'll be sorry, won't you? And they think this way, right? We think this way. But the whole trouble is once you get invested, because once you get started with something, you continue on that path. This life of material enjoyment is like the person jumps off the 100-story building. And as he passes by the 95th floor, so far it's not a problem, right? And we read how this misery comes with this diminished return. My desire to have it is increasing, while my desire to get it is decreasing. Of course, this creates misery. You know, Krishna gives us some instruction like this in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, this is where we think about it. He says, while contemplating, we all contemplate something. While contemplating the objects of the senses, do we get everything we want? We become attached to them. And from such attachment, lust develops. And then from the lust comes anger, like we're reading about here. When there's anger, we get complete delusion. And when there's complete delusion, our memory becomes disturbed. Back to disturbed. When the memory is disturbed, our intelligence is lost. When our intelligence is lost, we fall back again into the material pool. Don't you hate it when that happens? Who likes it when that happens? I'm going to sell you some suffering. Who wants to buy some suffering? No? Can't seem to sell it. But yet people are buying it all the time. We look at this scenario. This is why they say a stitch in time will save nine. If you see yourself bleeding, you don't look at this and say, oh, this is terrible. And the material enjoyment is quite often like the person who is a hemophiliac. This person, if he gets any cut, he bleeds. Some people like to cut themselves. Now, if you can't stop bleeding, the last thing you want to do is keep cutting yourself. So the point is to stop this symbol of sin, of lust, in the beginning. You know, how do we do this? How do we orient ourselves towards people so that this doesn't happen? You know what? Let me read something from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says. Because now we've discussed the problem, but what would the proper solution of investment be? In the 12th chapter, 13 and 14th verse, Krishna says, Adivesh sarva bhutanam maitreya karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samaduka sukakshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma trida nishchayaha mayi arpita mano buddhir yo mad bhakta same priyaha. One who is not envious but a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, who is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Krishna is giving us the formula so that we can become fixed and not be miserable and mistreat others and get more misery. Prabhupada says here in the purport that coming to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances. There's a good solution to that. Nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. When a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my own past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. It's funny, one friend of mine from a long time back, I actually told this person that the temple needed money for deities, and he gave $5,000 to buy the deities on Laguna Beach. And one day he had a dream. He said, I'd cut the top of my thumb in the food processor, and he called me. He said, I was taking a nap, and I had a dream you had your hand cut off. So then I felt grateful that I didn't get my full punishment. So, I'm not getting all the punishment I am due. I am only getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is kind to everyone. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body. Therefore, he is free from the conception of false ego and is equal poised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he is always joyful. There's a good point there to see with our investing in different things, is that one, it may sound good to look at selfish, self-centered activities. It's amazing, we start out with great ideas. It's like my stepfather used to say to my stepbrother, Albert, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So I think materially, I will do something for myself, but I'll also give a few to other people. So in my mind, I start out with these ideas for family. I'm thinking, I will give to you, but I'll take 70 and I'll give 30. And the other people are thinking, well, they'll take 80% and give 20. Does this sound like a problem? Here's where the problem lies. So in my mind, I'm thinking in goodness that I will work for myself, but I will have some good intentions, right? Good intentions will be there. So then my intention is good, but my endeavor is in the mode of passion. I just have to have what I want, and I'm willing to do anything to get it. And then my result becomes in the mode of ignorance. I become frustrated. So we find that these materially centered activities based on selfishness bring a diminishing return. I keep wanting more and I'm getting less. And so we start blaming others. And as Prabhupada is saying here, that if we accept responsibility for my own past karmic activities, then we get through it better. if I'm always trying to blame others and don't accept my own responsibility, then I'm going to stay in misery. That is why we have to study the Shastra and see what is there, what we should do in our life. You know, there's different kinds of readings and lectures that can be given. And this is why we see that what Prabhupada gives us is the most valuable. Because one kind of talk or lecture can be just a descriptive. We can give a description of bhakti yoga. We can say that they chant names of God and they worship forms of God. Sometimes they use instruments and sometimes they use beads. And we will talk something about the theory of bhakti and the theory of Krishna consciousness. And we see that when a course is taught on just description, it doesn't give us near as much as if a talk is given on a change of value to show the value of Krishna consciousness and one why one might want to engage in Krishna consciousness. But even better than the talk on the value of something, particularly Krishna consciousness, is a call to an action, getting people to want to engage in the Krishna consciousness has a far greater effect than just giving a description of Krishna consciousness, like the difference of describing a harmonium or showing someone how to play it. Because even better than the call to action is an instruction on how to do it. We read many times, what does the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu call? Is it called a description of devotional service, a discussion of values in devotional service, or an instruction on how to practice Krishna consciousness? Which one is it? Which one? Instruction. Because the instruction shows us how to do it. How are you going to become a better harmonium player? By learning an instruction on how to play it, or taking a course on the theory of musical theory? Now over here in the morning, you notice they have a little class about japa. Do they teach the theory of japa? Do they teach the value of japa? Or do they just give people instructions on how to chant japa? Which one is it? All of them, yes. It is all of it. But it's where the culmination comes. It's true, like with the material activities, when we're reading about the misery, when we're reading about by becoming disturbed, we lose our peace. By contemplating the objects of the senses, we become attached and develop lust and anger, and then we have complete delusion. Delusion is different than illusion. Illusion means you're not sure what's going on. Delusion means you're sure of what you're doing, but what you're doing is the wrong thing. That's even worse, right? At least if I don't know where Agra is, I have some idea. But if I get on the road and turn towards Delhi and think I'm sure Agra is that way, I'm even worse. So with these ideas, we want to give a description. We don't want to instruct people how to get lusty, how to develop anger, and how to fall in the material pool. We want this to be a description, right? Because, of course, the first class way is that we read about the dangers of these material activities and what the result is. How we invest a lot and get very little return, in fact, a negative return. Second, we can watch what happens when other people do it, right? Third, we may do it ourselves, but at least we learn. And fourth, we just don't learn at all. So, if we don't learn by studying, then at least we can learn by watching other people. And if we had to learn in the past, at least not continue to learn that way. So when we're investing energy, we find that I invest in chanting of the holy names. I'm not particularly getting anything selfishly for myself. It's like there's a big tree and I'm putting water on the root and I'm a leaf in this corner thinking, what good is this going to do me? I'm the leaf and I need water. Why should I put it on this root? But when the root is satisfied, the whole thing is satisfied. Just think, when we're all thinking selfishly, what the difference is. If we're all trying to get for ourselves and push each other out of the way, is that better? Or if we're all trying to serve each other? Just like when people drive in India, they're all thinking, how can I serve the other people? How can I drive in such a way that others will feel safe and others will feel my mercy? Do they drive that way? No. That's why they kill 143,000 people a year on the roads in India, because this driving is based on self-centeredness. It is not based on Krishna conscious values. Maybe we can try to change this. But we see the results of this when we engage in this. And when they say, like, investing in monetary things, one thing is income. The property gets a certain amount of income each month, and that is the income. The capital gain means you bought it for one price and sell it for another. How can we attach this to devotional service? Well, the best capital gain, if you can find a property that's worth 10 lakhs of rupees, and you can get it for 1 lakh, and maybe the value will go to crores, this is the perfect thing to do because it will get there on its own. How do we apply this in devotional ideas? We find some people who are not of very much value, but they are willing to become of great value. Just like Lord Nityananda went to Jagai and Madai. Did they have much spiritual value? When they took to the holy names, did they get great value? They did, didn't they? If we can find the people who appear to be in distress or don't seem to have many spiritual values, but they're willing, then when those people make spiritual advancement, we get the credit for that. Now, sometimes we may run into someone and maybe they're not ready yet. Maybe we could actually get that person to go home and get other people to follow some of these instructions. Say I'm talking to someone here and I want that person to benefit by some of the instructions of Krishna consciousness. I want some of their relatives and friends to benefit. How can I do that if they're not here? Say that person has come from Andhra Pradesh, or they've come from Kanyakumari, way on the bottom of India, and they're going home. And I'm thinking, I would like some of their relatives to benefit by the instructions of Krishna consciousness, and therefore I can benefit. How would I be able to do that? Any idea? A book! Not just a small pamphlet, a book. Or even better, say there's a set of books. Just like books, you say, do you want the whole set of Bhagavatams? Or would you rather just start with the first canto? Because if they take the set of books home, say they take a Gita and a set of three Bhagavatams, that way if they all want to read a book, there's one for each one. The good part about reading it is this. If you're arguing with someone, I'm arguing with you and you're arguing with me, and we're both talking at the same time. They say when people are disagreeing, quite often the best thing, I write down what I'm thinking, you write down what you're thinking, and then we each read what the other one is thinking. Because when you're reading, you're paying complete attention to what is there. Maybe I'm not ready to read it today, maybe next week, maybe next month, but if the book is there, it's available. And when you read, you are taking in that without trying to argue with it. So this is why the value of the book is there. Number one, it is pure spiritual instructions. It also gives the description and the value, but it culminates in the instructions, how to practice Krishna consciousness. You don't want to go to a doctor who describes the disease you have and how terrible it is and then sends you home. You want him to then say, now, here is a medicine. You take this 3 times a day along with this and instructs you what you do to get better. So you may want the description, but you want the description to culminate in an instruction of how I can practice this in spiritual life. And we do this in a team here, just like the point is made here, to help other family members. Because why is there the misery in family life? Because I am thinking, I will put all these people are here for my enjoyment. And if they don't give me the enjoyment I expect, I'm going to be angry. But if I think, how can I serve Krishna? And how can I serve other devotees? Then I actually become more happy. When we are so stuck in the mode of passion that we're willing to do anything to make ourselves happy, even if it doesn't work, that's the crazy thing. They don't know. And they think that these activities will make them happy. But they found the activity made them miserable, and they keep trying it. Just like Einstein said, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing but expect a different result. Right? They drink some alcohol, they get on a motorcycle in Vrindavan, and they have a problem. But next time we'll be okay, right? Is that possible? If you do the same thing you did, you'll get the same result. Now we look at some investment. If I just get here in the morning and I can see Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Krishna and Balaram, and Radha and Shyamashundar, it doesn't require crores of rupees. It just requires enough willingness to get myself there and pray to the deity. And then I have to get some beads out. I have them here. They're not very heavy. They're already strung. We chant the 16 words each time on each bead. And we find that this investment gives a very great return on our investment. But the best thing is, when we're helping others, we can help each other to progress in devotional service. You know, we fight each other. The best thing is we just find faults in each other's, and that way I feel good myself. Is that right? That's why Prabhupada said that we will show our love for each other by how many faults we find in each other. Was that it? No? What did he say? By how willing we're able to cooperate with each other. You know, there was a seminar that taught differently than this. There was a seminar taught by Ramachandra Puri, Ramachandra Khan, and Gopal Chakravarti. And this seminar is called How to Find Faults in Devotees That Don't Have Them. There's some special tricks you do. What you do is just imagine that you're pure and others find others have faults. Another good trick is always keep some hibiscus flowers. Just in case you have to discredit a devotee, you put some hibiscus flowers in front of their residence, and then you show everybody what problem they had. So by pointing out faults in them, the result will be, well, Gopal Chapala didn't suffer anything from that. Well, other than the leprosy. Other than that, did he have any problems? Or is that enough? So we see, if he found faults that weren't there, and he got the leprosy, But the good part was Srivas Thakur worried about this? He wasn't, because this is the good part. When I go to buy the vegetables and fruits for the deities and take home every Saturday, there is one man that he finds fault with everyone, not just me, but he always has something rude to say. So I told one of the fruit vendors, I said, "This man is my best friend." And he said, "How can I be your best friend?" He says, "I only say critical and mean things to you." I said, "Because it says in the Vedas that if someone criticizes me and I don't have to respond to it, they get all my bad karma and I get all their pious activities." I said, "That makes you my best friend." His face dropped, and you know, he's never criticized me since then. So again, we look at the point of this investing. The basic thing is, what happens when we invest in selfish-centered ideas opposed to if I invest in Krishna-conscious ideas? And so we need to check our motives. Am I trying to serve Krishna and the other devotees? Or am I trying to serve myself? And if we think about this on a regular basis, then we will have success in Krishna consciousness, and we won't be miserable to the other people in our life, because we find the people who are miserable to the other people in our life, they end up very unhappy, they suffer, and they don't become Krishna conscious, and they take a birth where things either end up the same or get worse. So we have to check the things we do. If we're not sure, take a look and see, why am I doing this action? What is my motives? Am I trying to serve Krishna, or am I trying to serve myself? If we don't know, we don't take some action. Like the one person told me, "Well, I didn't know what to do, so I screamed and yelled and I threw a rock at the person." I said, when you don't know what to do, you don't do it. You take some advice from others who can help you. And this is why it is important to associate with people who can help us take the proper actions. So any questions or comments on these ideas? There's a microphone here.